Recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in...
Changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Oh, I've had about enough of that. I've also had about enough of Joel Block with his 900 number. I'm told that so many people have complained about that it's not going to be on next week. Not Stardate, but the 900 number is history because it's commercialization at its worst. And we have our listeners to thank for that. Thanks, listeners. This is Brain Damage, and we're on until midnight doing all kinds of crazy, unpredictable things, like turning off the theme in the middle. That's how I feel about that. Well, we've got all kinds of neat things coming up. 632-6901, that's our phone number. Write it down. We're going to be taking calls in just a little while, talking about who knows what.
Everybody is so stupid. And everything we feel is mean. Everything we make is just a useless pile of junk. And everything we say is wrong. Nothing, nothing's any good.
are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
Germany today. People, places, and politics. The arts, too. From Bonn, Berlin, and New York. Timely coverage of the events and issues inside Germany that are important to America.
This is Germany Today. I'm Lee Murphy in New York, with Joseph Fleming, Peggy Trautman, Alfred Schroeder, and Steve Marchinsky in Germany. First multilateral talks on unification go so well, few expect any delays in rejoining the two Germanies. Even the opposition Social Democrats in Bonn aren't so far off the cold course to unity. Von Weizsäcker pledges no violation of Polish borders. VW heads east and predicts a profitable trip, though one West German firm falters in its bid to invest in what has been the other Germany. Charlie Daniels hits Berlin and turns the town into Nashville East. We'll have a direct report. Details in a moment on Germany Today. Though the Soviets have hardened their position on German membership in NATO following reunification, at least in public at the recent 2+4 meeting in Bonn and elsewhere, the Kohl government isn't wavering. And there could be bargaining room at the Kremlin anyway. Besides, there's bound to be some negotiating within the alliance on the matter, and domestic horse trading, too. A pair of reports help pull it all together for us.
Not only the Soviet Union is concerned about the potential economic and military strength of a unified Germany. Bonn realizes this, even if it is not too happy to hear it. It is meeting Western concern by proclaiming its determination to remain in the West's economic and military embrace. That is, in the European community and NATO. But how about the Soviet worries? The Bonn government, in quiet diplomacy and in the six-power talks on Germany, aims at convincing the Soviets that a unified Germany in the Western alliance will not destabilize East-West relations. It is pledging that no NATO forces will be stationed in what is now East Germany. It promises to retain the renunciation of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons and hold the unified German troop strength below that of the present West German army. It also is holding out to Russia the prospect of a new European peace order based on the 35-nation Conference for European Security and Cooperation. Bonn considers trial balloons, Soviet talk of a neutral Germany, and of a Germany with membership in both NATO and the Warsaw Pact. Joseph Fleming in Bonn.
So Kohl's Christian Democrats don't question Germany's continued involvement with NATO. And where does that leave domestic politics? With some ripples, apparently, but no big waves.
Even the Social Democrat opposition agree with the idea that they tie a few important strings to NATO membership, like the removal of all nuclear arms from German soil and a gradual change of NATO assignments, said the Social Democrat foreign policy spokesman Carsten Vogt.
It would change its strategy, it would change its military posture, it will have a more political function, and it will be combined with a couple of all-European security institutions, and not only security institutions. And so far, we are heading in the direction of a European peace order, and do not only stick to old institutions.
The Social Democrats would even accept the Bonn government's policy of a continued presence of U.S. and Soviet troops on German territory. Alfred Schroeder reporting from Bonn.
So much of the news out of Germany these days is upbeat, unification for Bonn and Berlin, not to mention all of Europe. And yet there's history. And West German President Richard von Weizsäcker recently took that somber path all the way from the Warsaw Ghetto to Treblinka, where the Nazis killed more than 800,000 Jews. Along with the pilgrimage came a pledge that Germany will never violate Poland's borders. VW has fashioned an ignition key worth some 360 million D-marks to start up its grand plan to bug East Germany.
If the West German Chambers of Commerce could offer businessmen a good piece of advice, it would be to go east and to go quickly. So far, over 380 companies have listened and have laid the groundwork for profitable joint ventures with the GDR. Volkswagen, West Germany's leading car manufacturer, didn't have to follow this trend. It was one of the first to set it. The moment the wall fell, VW teamed up with an East German car maker in Karl Marxstadt to plan the production of VW cars. Volkswagen spokesman Ortwin Witzel says both partners are ready to begin production. When legal and political conditions in the East allow for it, the two companies will assemble some 50 cars a day and work their way up to a total of 400. Witzel says this will be the test the joint venture has to pass before it moves into the next stage.
The further plans are to have a production with all the four key areas of a car production. That means there will be a press shop, a body shop, a paint shop, and of course a final assembly area. And this will start in 1994 and will be the third and the final phase of what we are planning in the GDR.
No foreign car maker has indicated it will set up a joint venture with the East Germans, but other West German companies are eager to catch up to Volkswagen's head start. Mercedes-Benz has already signed a memorandum of understanding with its partner and moved a major part of its operations from Stuttgart to West Berlin. In Bonn, I'm Peggy Trautman.
Talk about heading east. Volkswagen is really going east, all the way to the Orient, where it's preparing to build 150,000 cars annually in joint venture with China's first automotive works. But is the People's Republic ready for Farfanugan? The road to riches in the East can, however, be bruised by potholes, as one particular firm has learned.
Act while the others still talk was the slogan of the Thomas Kramer Group of Munich, which set out to raise about $25 million from West German and international investors to do just that. Ads in the international press touted the unfolding opportunities in East Germany, predicting annual profits of between 2 and 300% on acquisitions, joint ventures, and real estate deals. But the legal situation governing the real estate market in East Germany is still not clear. And on the day I wanted to talk to him about his investment fund, Thomas Kramer told me he had just filed for the German equivalent of Chapter 11, protection from creditors. He explained what brought his company to a dead stop.
The situation right now in East Germany is kind of very difficult because it's a very tricky legal situation. So even Germans, East or West, are not really able to close deals because any contract written today can be in the waste tomorrow because the situation is more or less changing. Not by days, but by hours. So really recommending any kind of deals or taking any recommendations as an investor is kind of dangerous for both the guy who offers the deal and the investor.
Thomas Kramer, who wanted to act while the others still talk, said he thinks the politicians in East Berlin and Bonn will have to do a great deal more talking and legalizing before East Germany is a simple and safe place to invest. In Bonn, this is Don Jordan.
The most international language is, this is a multiple choice question, A, art, B, poetry, C, music. Downbeat, maestro.
Howdy, friends.
Howdy.
Howdy.
These howdies are from members of the Charlie Daniels Band. And they're on tour in Germany this spring to perform for the American troops. And when they rode into Berlin, I caught up with Charlie at the Brandenburg Gate, and he was humbled by the sight of the former Berlin Wall.
It's very humbling to come here and see what's happened here. I remember when this wall was built, and to see it coming down, to see what's happened here is very gratifying. I hope another wall's never built to keep people in.
Well, Charlie Daniels won't be building any walls to keep people in. In fact, though he's here to perform for American troops, his concerts are open to everyone. And is Charlie's wife, Hazel, surprised at the positive German response to her husband's music?
Yes, I am. I was touched that people would recognize him here.
Some don't even understand the words, but just to hear the music.
Music is I don't know how to
universal
say it.
Language?
That's right.
You like Charlie Daniels and country music?
Country music, yeah.
Our country would be a heck of a lot better off if we had some truck drivers in Congress. Is what this world needs is a few more rednecks.
Well, you don't need to be a redneck to enjoy Charlie Daniels, and you don't need to be American to enjoy country music. But it doesn't hurt.
It's just the things that he says, you know, because he's like a good American, you know, the way it should be.
So on behalf of all of us tonight and the citizens of Berlin, thank you for coming, and best of luck, and have a safe trip home.
Reporting from the Charlie Daniels concert, I'm Steve Marchinsky.
Thank you!
In New York, I'm Lee Murphy.
And in Stony Brook, I'm Eric Corley. This is Brain Damage, 632-6901. Give us a call and spout your various rhetoric.
Oh, give me a poodle with bushy black hair. Give me a ring and a box full of air. Give me a palace with happy to meet with your mother and visit the doctor on this sunny day. It's very warm for the middle of winter, and Mexico City is so far away.
From the Donner Party and propaganda from West Germany, soon to be just plain Germany, I guess. I don't know. We're getting all kinds of tapes from them, and we've got a tape from Radio Moscow and all kinds of fun people like that. But right now, let's see what's going on in the world. 632-6901. Good evening.
Good evening, Eric.
How are you?
All right. Let me turn down my radio.
Turn down your radio.
There we go.
That's much better. You know, if more people turn down their radios, there'd be less problems in the world. Especially on the beaches, in the subways, in the parks.
I hear you. I was going to just close them right down.
Uh-huh.
I just shut it right off.
That's what people should do, you know?
Anyway, I want to tell you what an excellent, excellent
Why is everybody
dinner
scowling?
I had. With this weather finally breaking, a little break in the action here, I had my parents over.
Did you?
Yes. Yes, Grandma and Grandpa. We broke out the sterling silver. And got out Grandma's china. Do you have your grandmother's china set?
Well, is it your grandparents or your parents? Make up your mind.
My parents, but my daughter's grandparents, I guess.
So you call them grandparents, even though they're your parents?
That's right, that's right.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Why do people do that? You know, people take on what their kids say, you know?
Well, not to be too confusing, the problem is now... you see, when I said break out Grandma's china, it also means that is her great-grandmother, our grandma.
Right.
But those grandparents have, you know, passed on into the wind. You know, now we're dealing...
Passed on. What a phrase, you know?
Yeah.
I'm gonna harp on every single phrase that comes by tonight, but passed on, I always wondered about that. Passed on, passed away, passed by, you know?
Yeah, well, let's... I just want to get to the crux of the biscuit here.
Yeah, and I'm trying to keep you from that, but go ahead anyway.
I'm going to make your mouth water. I'm telling you, you're really going to love this. Listen to what we had. This was great. And this was an outdoor barbecue. All right?
Well, most of them are, right? How many indoor barbecues can you have?
Well, this is the first of the season.
Okay.
I cooked chicken legs with in a hickory smoked marinade, tarragon and sage. And we had those thin, moist, slender stalks of asparagus. Don't you hate fat, cold asparagus? You know the kind of thick stalks? Oh, I hate them. These were thin, moist, slender stalks.
Oh, I don't mind asparagus of any sort, really.
Yeah. And the old girl made decent homemade rolls.
The old girl?
The old girl. The old lady. My wife.
Your betrothed is
my beloved
old girl.
Yes.
Eh?
Okay. And, see, we had brownies for dessert.
All right, that makes sense.
Yep, homemade brownies once again. So how's that sound?
And that happened today.
What'd you have?
Wait, was that today?
It was today.
Didn't you find the weather kind of threatening?
Threatening?
I mean, I looked at the sky before, and it looked downright sinister.
Well, you're right. I don't know, you know, which way to turn.
Well, it seems like that might have cast a damper on the whole day. But I guess it didn't.
No, I believe it was the highlights of the day was the fact that we were able to get this barbecue in.
Uh-huh.
And
not get drenched.
Yeah, carry on in true tradition.
Well, that's good. I imagine you're in lots of company on this Memorial Day weekend. That's what people do is have barbecues, right?
That's right.
Feel compelled to do that.
Well, I'd love to hear from other people who had a similar experience.
Yeah. Well, what was your experience?
Oh, it was totally delightful.
So, okay, you had a nice day and you had a barbecue, right?
Yeah, for a change.
Okay, well, I guess that's more than I've done today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't really done much of anything, except
right.
Think about what I'm going to talk about tonight.
What are we going to talk about?
I don't even know. You know, there's so many, as I always say, there's so many things happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you hear about Canada?
Let's talk about what happened with the spring.
Well, yeah, we can talk about that, but I want to talk about what's going on in Canada, where Quebec is actually thinking seriously of seceding. And on top of that, for the first time, I'm hearing something completely different here. The other provinces are, some of the other provinces are thinking of joining the United States. What do you think of that?
Wow. That's heavy duty news.
Now, that would include Newfoundland. That would include New Brunswick, Nova Scotia. They said five provinces that were... That would be isolated if Quebec became an independent country. I don't know what the other two are, but that would be really weird, you know, to have more of the United States. I don't know if I feel comfortable with that. And how do you feel about that?
Well, I'll tell you, the more the merrier.
Prince Edward Island, I guess, would be a...
Wicked. I would love to have Prince Edward Island as a member of the United States. What could I say?
If someone can think of what the other one is, they said five, and I don't think it's Ontario because that's on the other side of Quebec. New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, Newfoundland, and I'm looking at a map here. I don't see any others.
Well, who's spearheading this movement? Who's behind this sinister plot?
Well, you see, there's a separatist movement in Quebec that's been there for quite some time, but it seems to be picking up some steam in the last couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like on the eve of Gorbachev's visit to Canada, it looks like it's actually got a possibility of happening. I really hope it doesn't happen because part of a great deal of the charm of Canada is the way it's bilingual. The way you can see people speaking two different languages, which is something you don't see very much here. And I'd hate to see that go. I mean, I guess the question I'm asking tonight is, which is better, to have all these kind of nationalist movements and have all these small countries or have lots of big countries? In other words, is it better for a country like Quebec to suddenly come into existence, or is it better for provinces to join the United States, you know, for...
Well, that's a very topical issue. I think that it would be to everybody's mutual benefit if all of the continent of North America joined forces and used a combination of efforts. Because let me bear me out with this. We definitely have a problem with all these weird weather patterns that we've been having, you know, the difference in what traditionally the climate is supposed to be around here, you know, spring being, you know, mildly warm with April having the showers, not June or not May, and not having frost in late May. Because I'll tell you, it's killing all the, you know, all your spring plants, all your, you know, the tulips died prematurely.
Well, yeah, they did.
Well, in other words, if we could all, like, combine certain efforts, Canada, I know they're really mad at us. I don't know why they would want to join us unless it was in a... to vindicate the problem of solving the acid rain problem.
Well, Canada does not speak with one voice, and no country really does, despite what their governments might say. Mm-hmm. So the factions that want to join the United States, I imagine, are completely different than the factions that are mad at us about acid rain.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on who you listen to, you know? I just think it would be interesting. You know, it's really weird to see things change and to see the Germanys joining, to see a country to the north of us suddenly come into being. It would be interesting, and it would make maps look kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's for the best. You know, I don't know if it's for the best to have all these nationalist movements.
I'm very skeptical.
Yeah.
I'm extremely skeptical about the unification because... I can't see things being so easily put back together. It's just got to take so much work. It should be such a struggle to really unite and lead the planet into a more harmonious existence.
Well, it does seem to be moving a little too fast, I'll say that.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. You can't believe everything you read in the papers.
Well, that's something I can agree with, yes. You know, I'm looking at this. I brought a map in today because I talked about world events, and it's just good to have a map in front of you when you're talking about them. But I'm looking at the map of the United States here, and I suddenly realized how ridiculous the way our country is set up is. I mean, Hawaii... Come on, why is Hawaii part of the United... It doesn't make any sense. I mean, you got this island on the other side of the world that's a part of this country,
mm-hmm.
and it's just, what other country is like that, you know? What other country has Alaska, you know, a part of it that's separated by another country? It's so strange when you look at it on a map like this. To have this little island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and say that's a part of the country, not a colony, but a state... It's, I mean, the Soviet Union doesn't have any kind of deal like that, do they? They don't have a little rock over in
well, have
the middle
you ever
of
been
Europe
to,
somewhere.
Maui?
No, I never have.
Well, if you've been to Maui, you would know why the United States was so, they were so eager to get Hawaii's citizenship or whatever. What is it called? To have them annexed.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just, I hear it's a gorgeous country.
Oh, yeah, I'm not denying that. It just looks kind of bizarre on a map to have it, to have a country set up that way. And I just don't know of any other country that is set up that way.
One of these days I'm going to find out why, why Hawaii is such a tourist attraction.
Uh-huh. Because we could conceivably take over... all kinds of islands. I mean, this talk of Puerto Rico again becoming a state, and all of a sudden, you know, there could be 100 stars in our flag, which would make it really crowded looking. Maybe they'd have to make the flags bigger. I don't know.
Yeah, or add some more colors.
Boy, this world is a changing place. I mean, boy, borders changing, names of countries changing. Did you hear about the Yemenis? The Yemenis merged. There's no more North Yemen and South Yemen. One was a Marxist country, and one was a Western democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And they merged last week. And with all this talk about the Germanys, everybody just sort of forgot about what was going on in Yemen. And what better microcosm of...
Yemen. And I thought it was drawn and quartered.
No. They united.
East, South, and...
there is but one Yemen these days. And that's shocking news to me. I didn't even know this was happening. And I like to keep abreast of these things. And, you know, I just saw an article in the Times and, you know, nothing leading up to it. It just suddenly happened.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you, there's a lot going on in this world. and anything I can do to break stride and really, you know, kick back and enjoy myself, like on a day like today, just a little break in the action, just a little spot of sunshine.
Well, that's good to do that kind of thing, you know.
Well,
that's
what I did today, Eric.
Well, that's what
I thought I'd share that with you.
Free democracy is based upon is people doing things like that. So, thanks for sharing that with us.
Hey, man, nice to hear from you.
And what are you going to do next weekend?
Oh, I think I'm going to break out the ping pong table.
All right.
Yeah, I want to get into some table tennis.
More power to you.
I hear.
All right, thanks for calling.
Bye bye.
And that's what we're all about here, folks. People standing up for their rights as Americans, doing what comes naturally, because that's what they want to do. It's as simple as that. That's what freedom is. That's what our forefathers fought and scratched and kicked for, was the right to have barbecues on Saturdays. Saturdays where it looks like it's going to rain, but we have them anyway. Oh, I'm getting all emotional, so I'm not going to continue along this line. Don't want to make a fool of myself, but it's something to think about, folks. Something to think about. Next time somebody asks you why you live in this country, remember that. Just remember it. All right, we're going to go over to the other side for a little while, and then we're going to come back here. I want to see those phones start lighting up. That's not too much to ask, is it? 632-6901. Area code 516.
Radio Moscow presents its regular feature, Soviet Viewpoint. This edition, prepared by our staff writer, Yuri Kostin, is timed for the 35th anniversary of the Warsaw Treaty Organization. In May of 1955, in the Polish capital, the European Socialist countries signed a treaty of friendship, cooperation, and mutual assistance. A military political union was thus set up to be known as the Warsaw Treaty Organization, in order to maintain stability in Europe and counterbalance to the NATO bloc formed in 1949. During the 6 years between the creation of the two alliances, the Soviet Union had been trying to prevent a split of the continent into opposing groupings, and in 1954 it even asked for NATO membership. But that offer was rejected, along with the subsequent ones that the Soviet Union and its allies have been making over the long years of the confrontation of the two blocs in Europe. At the same time, the idea of creating a reliable system of collective security on the continent, not to be based on mutual intimidation, has survived. It seems that now is the moment when the idea can be carried out. During the years of confrontation, when the basic NATO doctrine of nuclear strategy was openly aimed against the socialist countries, and when the Warsaw Treaty nations, too, permitted provoking and mistaken actions, like the introduction of Allied troops into Czechoslovakia in 1968, only a miracle could make this idea work. Nowadays, what the new political thinking is gradually pushing out the obsolete principles of relations between states, it has become possible to talk in earnest about the destiny of the military alliances. Of course, the scrapping of NATO and the Warsaw Treaty Organization should be approached with utter caution, so as the destruction of the old structures on which stability and security rest should not get ahead of the creation of new ones. As the first step, the Warsaw Treaty Organization offers disbanding the military wings of the two blocs. Actions are already underway to reduce the militaristic spirit and the military activities within their framework. Importantly, this is being done on both sides. The military doctrine of the Warsaw Treaty Organization, adopted in 1987, sets for the organization as the main task preventing war. In a bid to reduce the war danger, it is ready to make big one-sided cuts in its armed forces and armaments in Europe. The NATO countries also intend to take a number of constructive steps. According to the U.S. Defense Secretary Richard Cheney, the North Atlantic Alliance will reduce its nuclear arsenals and will further review its strategy. Naturally, it is yet early to say that the bloc policy is receding into the past for good. relapses of old thinking do occur, similar to the search for some one-sided advantages. The NATO countries insist on incorporating into their alliance the future United Germany. It is felt in the USSR that this stand not only fails to take into account the interests of the Warsaw Treaty Organization, but can also lead to upsetting the strategic balance and to destabilizing the situation in Europe. This is exactly a case when solution of a highly complicated issue of European politics can run ahead of the all-European process, and even slow down that process. The hopeful fact is that in the past few years, the world has changed seriously. It seems at times that there are no more issues that cannot be solved when the two sides have learned to look for mutually acceptable solutions calmly. If the relations between states become finally equal, with due account for the interests of the partners to the talks, if trust and responsibility for the future prevail, then the confrontation spirit will fully disappear, and elimination of such symbols of it as the military blocs will simply become a technical matter. That was a commentary from our staff writer Yuri Kostin for the 35th anniversary of the Warsaw Treaty Organization.
Public Enemy. In their music, kind of rebel rousing, they talk about, things like, you know, the white media is very upset about some of the things you say and your son. The way I get them caused me a little very upset by the things you're saying. It's on the air. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes.
I've seen these guys. I saw them warm up for the Beastie Boys last year.
How were they?
How were they? I thought it was one of the most appalling things I have ever seen. There were two gentlemen in cages on either side of the stage with fake Uzis. There were, it was unbelievable. And when I see somebody who's wearing one of their shirts, I think that they're scum too.
Hello, do you need it?
Hello,
do you need it?
Yeah, why do you even pay homage to people by putting these monkeys on?
Hello? Hello?
He doesn't have the guts to tell him that. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Hello? Yes, you need it. Yes, you need it. You need it.
Terminator X.
Thank you. The Terminator X is one of the members of the group. It's on the air. It's on the air. On the air.
Go back to Africa?
Okay, we're going to, believe me, when we go to these phones, people are going to tell you to do just that, Chuck. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, Alan, I think that right liberals like yourself have difficulty understanding that Chuck's views represent the frustrations of the majority of black youth out there today.
I do understand that.
Yeah, but before he came on, you were saying...
Well, if you had read the stuff I'd read about him and the way he'd been portrayed in the American press...
Check this out, man. We're rolling this way.
Man.
That's music from Consolidated here on WUSB, Brain Damage. We also heard Public Enemy and Radio Moscow up there on top. Well, our phone number is still 632-6901. Speak what's on your mind. We want to hear from you. And if you're interested in what's going on in the world tonight, let's see what our teletype has just spewed forth. Soviet President Gorbachev calls the Western NATO military alliance a symbol of the past. Gorbachev says the question of whether a united Germany should continue as a member of NATO will be a major issue at the upcoming Superpower Summit. Good name for a band, eh? Gorbachev tells Time magazine that he envisions a Europe free of Cold War alignments. He says he sees a new Europe as a union of states with common military and environmental interests. And President Bush sees the German question as a prime summit topic, too. But the president says he can make the case for a unified Germany to be part of NATO. Bush says it's his job to convince Gorbachev that a united Germany aligned. And there's a run on consumer goods in the Soviet Union. Coming prices... Okay, usual literacy of the Associated Press here. Coming prices hikes mandated by economic reforms have Soviets scrambling to clear store shelves. The price of bread, for example, will triple under the new price structure. In one Moscow store, a cashier calls the crush of shoppers outrageous. To cope with the crowds, Moscow's mayor has restricted purchases to city residents. The son of executed Romanian dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu denies he ordered troops to fire on demonstrators. Nicu Ceaușescu's televised trial began today in Sibiu. And in testimony, he told the military court that the evidence doesn't support the chief charge against him, which is complicity in genocide. There's a new threat from kidnappers holding two American hostages in Lebanon. A statement from the group warns the U.S. and Israel will pay the price for the killings of seven Palestinians in Israel this week. But the statement doesn't say how such a price might be exacted. The communique was delivered with a snapshot of American hostages Jesse Turner and Alan Steen. Elite police units are surrounding two hotels in Managua where Nicaraguan Contra leaders are staying. The Contras are in the capital to negotiate their disarmament with the government. The Contra leaders say they... Here we go again. The Contra leaders say they've been told not to leave hotel grounds. Thank you, AP. Though officially out of power, the leftist Sandinistas still control the police and military. At more than a century after the fact, a Civil War memorial was dedicated in Chicago today. The Heritage Memorial Wall is located on the site of the former Camp Douglas. The camp was a major training ground for Black Union soldiers and later served as prison where thousands of Confederate soldiers died. Well, that's good stuff there. Consolidated is the name of the band. And we just got this record. It's called The Myth of Rock. We're listening to Stop the War Against the Black Community. White American Male, The Truth Hurts. Message to the people. Let's give a listen to this. And I expect to take some phone calls. 632-6901, area code 516. Whatever's on your mind.
Stop! women and minorities. Why do you allow that?
These white men perpetuate this current rise in racism.
That song is dedicated to all the women and the peoples of color in this house tonight who daily have to put up with shit that's imposed upon them in a white male-dominated society. You will be a much better future, I'm sure.
All right, like two more calls, 632-6901. If you're one person out there, then you're half the battle. So give a call, 632-6901. This record, Consolidated, here on WUSB in Stony Brook. It's disgraceful. There's no other word for it. You know, you watch the things going on in Brooklyn, you see the divisiveness that has sprung up over the past few weeks, and you wonder just how far it's going to go, and you think, what a waste. What a waste of time, what a waste of people to battle each other on such things. I don't know. 632-6901. There's wrong on both sides. There's right on both sides. But one thing that there doesn't seem to be enough of is the ability to reason, the ability to compromise, the ability to get together. And that's something that we need to see. Not to both sides. That's wrong. It's not both sides. There's many sides here. There's like dozens of sides. But that's a whole kettle of fish there. 632-6901. Good evening.
Yeah, I'd like to know why you're playing that black trash over the air.
Well, tell me what you don't like about it.
It's black.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm just going to put you over there. All right. You should be quite happy where I transferred you. 632-6901. I don't think that's suppression of speech, folks, do you? I think that's sort of, I don't know. Humans only call in. How's that? 632-6901. Don't forget, we've got the tripods coming up in 4 minutes. Only 4 minutes. They weren't here last week. That's because I wasn't here last week. And I want to thank Steve Thornton for filling in on a last-minute basis, which is the way things go around here sometimes. I just had some things that I couldn't get out of, and I couldn't come in last week. It's just the way it was. Still feel bad about it. Because I know a lot of people, not so much because they wanted to hear me, but people were following the tripod saga. In much the same way as others were following the Twin Peaks saga. Hey, anybody see that? What do you think of that? What do you think of the way things were resolved or weren't resolved? You know, ABC has given that show the kiss of death, as far as I'm concerned, because did you see where they scheduled it next year? Saturday nights at 10 o'clock? Opposite my program. God. Well, that show's not going to last much longer. But, it was quite an interesting 6 weeks if you're used to the usual monotony that's on network TV. This was a little bit different. And the tripods coming up in just 3 minutes now will carry that difference a little further. This is from back in 1981. And they are to radio what Twin Peaks is to television. There's just no question about that. In fact, there have been quite a few reports that Twin Peaks was based on the tripods, but I can't verify that. But we did have a guy named Lynch who would always call us up and pester us when we were running this thing. He wanted transcripts, he wanted scripts, all that kind of thing, and we wouldn't give it to him. But I don't know. I can't say for sure what's going on there. Our number is 632-6901. We do have a couple of calls, but, you know, they might be morons, so let's get a lot of calls. If you have a brain, and if you understand what I'm talking about, you probably do, give a call now because you'll be our backup support in case we do get morons. 632-6901. I don't have anything against morons, by the way. I mean, morons are cool as far as I'm concerned. But they're a drag to talk to for a long time, you know. And that's why we need to have diversity. If we have a moron, okay, we need a smart person to balance that out. And we just, you know, we don't want to give too much time to the morons. I'm sure everybody can agree to that, right? Yeah, of course. 632-6901, area code 516. We've got some special surprises and features and things like that. All coming your way here on Brain Damage. Where it's 10:59, and I guess what we're going to do is feature this week's episode of the Tripods before we do anything else, because well, we know how angry people get when it's late, and we don't want that to happen. We don't want the kind of bitterness that occurred a couple of weeks ago when we ran it, I think, a full 5 minutes late. So we're going to go into it now. We're going to update you as to what happened, I believe. It was 2 weeks ago that we left off. I believe Howard has just agreed to be in the motion picture that Uncle Jonathan has offered him a starring role in. And much to Kathy's surprise, Howard abruptly changes his mind when he finds out that the actress he'll be playing against is none other than the French film starlet Brigitte Leroux. And I guess nothing more can be said. Why don't we just join the drama, the saga as it continues, and those of you who have your expensive tape decks out and are recording this as it comes along, you can start recording now, because I'm not going to say anything else to ruin the tape or anything like that, so start now. Okay? All right, good. Here we go. Radio Free Long Island, in coordination with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, presents The Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle for peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. When we left our friends last week, Howard had just agreed to start filming a major motion picture on Whitney Island. And now, as we join Howard, we see that he has just arrived at Whitney Island, and we hear him.
Oh, what a beautiful island. It's just perfect for a film. I can hardly wait to get started. I wonder where Uncle Jonathan is. I saw him before.
Hey, you, what's your name?
Oh, I'm Howard Tripod. I'm here to star in the motion picture about the two people who get stranded on an island for 20 years.
Howard Tripod. How do you spell that, with a Y?
No, it's T-R-I-P-O-D.
Tripod. Okay, I've got it. You're here.
Who are you?
Me? Oh, I'm the stage manager. I'll be giving you all of your directions. Ralph Alpignato is the name. You can call me Ralph, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, that's a relief. I don't think I could say your other name.
you're from Long Island. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. How did you know?
I was just talking with Mr. Oligarch a little while ago.
Mr. Oligarch? Oh, you must mean Uncle Jonathan.
Oh, he's your uncle, is he?
Well, actually, he's my wife's uncle, but the whole family calls him that.
I see. So, what part of Long Island are you from, anyhow?
Well, did you ever hear of Stony Brook?
Yeah, they have a big university out there, don't they?
Yeah, well, we don't live there, but we do live right next to it in a place called East Setauket.
East Setauket? No, I never heard of it.
What was that?
Oh, I think they're bringing in the elephants and the elephants now.
Elephants?
Yeah, elephants.
I didn't know there were any elephants in this film.
Yeah, there's all sorts of wildlife. Plenty of wildlife. They're going to be bringing in chimpanzees and walruses and seals and
walruses?
Even a whale pretty soon.
Walruses and seals?
Yeah, watch out for the tigers.
What kind of an island is this supposed to be, anyway?
Well, it's going to be an interesting film, I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, that's for sure. Tell me something, that famous French actress that's supposed to co-star with me, Brigitte Leroux?
Brigitte, yeah.
Yeah, is she here yet?
No, I don't think I've seen Brigitte. I haven't seen, but I'm sure she'll be here pretty soon. See, listen, I gotta get going, but I'll talk to you later, okay?
Oh, okay. Well, so long.
What'd you say your name was again?
My name's Howard Tripod.
Okay, Howard.
Bye, Ralph.
Okay, bye.
He was a nice guy. I wonder if there's anyone else I can talk to while I'm waiting for things to get started. Oh, it's really amazing how I'm missing everyone at home already. It's only been a few hours since I left Long Island, but it feels like years. I can just see Kathy sprucing up the house and starting on a garden. Pop's probably complaining about something right now, and Charlie's probably next door cutting his grass. It all seems so... I'm terribly sorry. I didn't see you there.
I wish you'd watch where you're going, Mac. It took me all day to lay down these cables.
I'm sorry.
Now I gotta start from scratch all over again.
Gee, I'm really sorry.
It took me about 8 hours.
I guess I was daydreaming. I didn't see where it was going. Here, I'll help you put that back.
No, I'd really prefer to do it myself.
Nonsense. This isn't that hard to figure out. I'll just put this wire over here like...
Will you get out of here and let me do it myself, please? Please, leave me alone.
There's no reason to get touchy. I can't find anything to do around here. And everyone's so busy.
Including me. I'm pretty busy myself. Now, listen, Mac. If you go looking for something to do, why don't you just take a boat ride around the island? It's a nice, beautiful island. And I think there's a canoe right over there. Or a little rowboat over something over there.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. I've always wanted to do something like that. Well, thanks, whoever you are.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. Please, just leave me alone.
Okay, wow, that's not a bad idea. Let me go over there and see about this canoe. It's a nice one. Try to lift it up here. Into the water. Hey, this is nice. This is really relaxing. I don't feel like I have any troubles at all in the world now. I can just sit back and look at the sky and feel the water underneath me. Oh, this is great. The current's kind of strong, though. Maybe I should try to move closer to the island. Try to go to that little port over there. Wow, this current is very strong. I really better start to push back towards the island quickly. I can't move. I'm moving in the other direction. I don't want to move in the other direction. Hello? You guys on the shore, can you hear me? Hello, I'm moving the other way. I don't want to do that. I want to go back to the island. Hello? They can't hear me. Oh, my goodness. What am I going to do? And so, just as Howard is preparing to start filming the major motion picture, he becomes cast adrift in a small canoe. And you'll want to be with us next time when we'll hear Kathy say,
I wonder what Howard's doing right now.
That's next week on the Tripod Family, right here on this station. This is Don Topeka.
On May 16, 1990, the State University of New York filed an application for a construction permit with the Federal Communications Commission for a major change in the licensed facility of WUSB 90.1 FM Stony Brook, New York, FM channel 211B1. The application requests permission to relocate WUSB's broadcast transmitter and antenna system from its current location on the Stony Brook campus to a new transmitter facility on Lidge Drive in Farmingville, New York. The application requests a broadcast effective radiated power of 4,000 watts horizontal and 4,000 watts vertical at a height above average terrain of 155 meters. A copy of this application is on file for public inspection in room 271 of the Stony Brook Union on the campus of the State University of New York at Stony Brook.
And we want to thank those people that participated in Radiothon 90 for getting us to this stage, because that's a direct result of the funds we were able to raise. We can now move forward with our plans to increase our signal coverage area. Again, thanks to those people, and stay tuned for further news as to our move up into the sky where our signal will hit more of Long Island and hopefully more of Connecticut, too. Our phone number is 632-6901. Let's get a few more calls on the line. We've got a couple, but I really want to get some more. We usually have a lit switchboard this time of night, and I sure think it would be nice to have a lit switchboard again. Haven't done that in a while, actually. And, oh, where should we go first? Well, there's this interesting brochure somebody sent me about one of these dial-by-phone things. You know, I'm always interested in these dial-by-phone computers, I guess you would call them, where you pick up and you dial a certain number and you connect it to a computer and you have all kinds of different choices of things that you can do. And this particular one allows you to get all kinds of medical information. Now, we have a whole bunch of choices here as far as what we can get information on. We can get information on anemia, chest pains, heart failure, age, sex, and race, cigarette smoking and alcohol, cataracts, abortion, angel dust, hepatitis, vegetarian diet. Can't help but notice that it's not picking up. I don't know why this is. Every time I tried it in the past, it seemed to pick up. Oh, well. I guess we can't call that then if it's not going to answer. It's called TelMed. It's the anonymous way to get doctors' answers to your everyday health questions 24 hours a day. And by simply dialing your maybe I dialed the wrong number. Okay, that's possible. Let me just dial the number again. Sometimes people make mistakes. You know, you can't blame them for making mistakes. Probably called the wrong number, that's all. Yeah, this must be the right number. Pick up any time now. Okay, well, sometimes what happens is, and this is true, sometimes certain phone systems have a couple of lines, and occasionally one of the lines goes bad. So let's assume that there are two lines here, and the first line, which is what we're coming in on, has gone bad. What we're going to do is keep this phone ringing, get another line, and call again. And if my theory is correct, we'll come in on the second line, and the second line will work. Here we are on the second line. Looks like my theory wasn't correct. Let's go back to the first one. That's still ringing, and the second one is ringing. All right, what we're going to do now is proceed on the theory that both lines are bad and maybe there's a third line. Maybe that'll work. So let's conference those together, go to another line, and maybe that'll work. These are the kind of things you have to do in order to get through sometimes. Aha! Okay, what's going on? It picked up, didn't say anything. Well, let's dial 600 to hear the cholesterol program. Doesn't seem to work. Anything there? Doesn't seem to work at all, folks. All right, let's try calling in on that one again. I'm going to... Oh, it hung up. It hung up on me. All right. I don't know what's going on here. Just going to try one more time. Boy, what a pain this is. I want this to be a simple demonstration, and look what I'm going through. That's not working. Okay, we'll have to try this some other time, folks. We'll have to try it some other time because apparently this is not the right day to call this stupid thing. Thank God I don't have any urgent need for health information or I'd be really upset now. All right. Well, I did something interesting yesterday. I
made a phone call overseas to what is probably the first computer bulletin board in Czechoslovakia. That's right. Just made a phone call, and I was connected to a bulletin board. Now, you may ask, what is a bulletin board? Okay. A bulletin board is something that you connect your computer to. So you pick up the phone, and you dial a phone number. This one, I'm reasonably sure, will answer. This is what it sounds like to your computer. Make the phone call, it rings and picks up with a computer tone. Okay, now, it can't understand what I'm saying since I'm not a computer. It's trying to communicate with me, but it doesn't understand my voice. But if I was a computer, I would say something else, you know, like a beep of another kind, and it would respond to that, and that's called handshaking. They'll shake hands and then start communicating that way. So, if you ever hear that tone, that's what a computer is. I mean, that's what a computer modem is, which is a way of communicating between computers. So, I called up this number in Czechoslovakia, and in fact, I can even call that number right now, and it won't charge us because we won't be connected long enough to be charged. But you will hear for yourself what a computer picking up in Czechoslovakia sounds like. I don't know what those noises are. It's okay, here we go. A lot of line noise there. That's a ring. And here's the computer. Okay, that's a computer in Czechoslovakia. Isn't that amazing? So, if you call up with your computer and connect to that, you will actually be connected to a bulletin board, and that bulletin board speaks English. It speaks all kinds of other languages, too, but it does speak English. So, basically, it asked me to give them a username, so I gave them the username of New, and it responded by saying, "Hello, New, did I get your login name right?" And then it said something in some other language. I said yes. It printed up a little map of Czechoslovakia, which was very nice. And then asked me for all this information as far as a new user, what my hobbies were, what I liked doing, why I was calling that bulletin board. And I read a bunch of messages left by different people from all over the world. And it was interesting because I wandered around. There was one word that I saw that kept popping up everywhere I looked, and that was the word hacker. The word hacker was popping up everywhere. It was in all different languages, but that was the word that kept showing up. So I figured this is an interesting place to be, a Czechoslovakian bulletin board where they're talking about hackers. And I left a message in English inviting people to call up the United States and share all kinds of information. And before I knew it, the system operator broke in and started chatting. If you've ever been on a computer bulletin board, what that looks like, all of a sudden on the screen, you'll see, as if somebody is typing live right there, you'll see one letter come across and another, and that's called chat mode. That's what happens when somebody breaks in and you're sort of typing back and forth in real time. So he would type out a line, I would type a line back, and we were communicating in that way, over the water, over the Atlantic Ocean, and through all these different cultures. It's really incredible, folks. Really incredible. This is the kind of thing that Glasnost has brought us. It's going to be an interesting period ahead of us. It really will be. Now, there's other, if I can find them, there's other bulletin board numbers. And if anybody wants these, feel free to call up after the show. Or better yet, well, if you call up now, I guess I can give it over the air, but I'd like to know if people are interested in this. There's a bulletin board in Estonia, in the Soviet Union. You can't call that one directly, because you can't call Estonia directly. You have to go through an operator. There's also one in Hungary. Let's see if that one answers. That one, I think we can call direct. But I'm not certain. So we'll find out together. See what we get. Oh, we're going over there. Looks like we got something. Okay, we got another computer bulletin board. So they're all over the place. And they're starting to pop up in Eastern Europe. And what better way to start
to start communicating. It's expensive, though. I mean, this phone call, I was on the phone for about a half hour last night, and I called the operator and asked, well, how much would a call of that length cost? Turns out it's costing about $25, which is quite expensive just to communicate with somebody. And that's why I always have trouble with the concept of paying to talk. It just, I don't know. You look upon it in that way, just communicating back and forth shouldn't be something that somebody's making a profit off of. It should be something that everybody has the right to do. But that's a whole other topic there. Just thought people might be interested in that. And if anybody wants the number, they can give us a call now and ask for it. Our phone number is 632-6901, area code 516. And what are we talking about? We're talking about all kinds of things. The changing world, the possible breakup of Canada, the nice weather, although it wasn't very nice today, the coming of spring, racial tensions, and we're always talking about the First Amendment and things like that. So give us a call, 632-6901. Good evening.
I hate to change the subject, but...
I expect people to change the subject.
Well, there was a guy that called up when you played that that rap music.
Uh-huh.
And I happen to love rap music, and I just can't understand why some people can't grasp the concept behind most rap music now.
Well, you know, it's the same as anything else. We become closed in to our own little worlds. And, you know, once you open the door and you start experimenting with other things, you know, different kinds of people, different kinds of music, different kinds of food, you know, that's when life becomes interesting. And that's when you realize, you know, we're all in this together and there's no real, I don't know, there's no need for hatred. But when you're closed in, when you got your own way of doing things and you believe that's the best, you know, kind of like the nationalist spirit and, patriotic fervor to a degree, you know, you get that kind of mood through that. That's where people go backwards, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was just going to say, you said also said something about morons. Well, we're all morons. We all do stupid things. And I got a question for you, and I'll be brief.
Well, let me first tell me what name. Tell me a stupid thing you've done, a really stupid thing.
A really stupid thing I've done?
Yeah.
Lately?
Yeah.
I let the wheel cylinders of my front wheel, the front right front tire, just go to pot.
Uh-huh. That's dangerous.
Yeah, well, it's dangerous, but I consider myself lucky that I still have the car, the other two or three wheel cylinders that are still in decent shape.
Well, you are blessed then. Now, what's the point you're going to make?
Well, which moron was that who said, since we're all morons?
Well, we're all morons about something, that's for sure.
Right. I regret that I have but one life to give for my country.
Who said that?
Who said that?
I don't know who exactly said that. I know a lot of people have said it, but I don't know who said it first. I regret that I... Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue, too. I regret I have...
Was it
one...
Nathan Hale or Patrick Henry?
It was somebody who was about to be executed, right?
Right.
He said that right before they did whatever they did to him.
Was he a traitor or was he a patriot?
Well, that's just it. It depends on whose perspective you're looking at, you know?
Right, right.
What is a traitor? You know, a traitor to the country. Does that mean the person is bad? No, that means the person has
traitor
different
to the
ideas.
Cause.
Right.
Right, which happened to be the cause for that time.
And, of course, we look back on it now and say...
Revolution, wasn't it?
We look back on it now and say how barbaric, you know, for people to be like that. But have we really changed? Have things really, you know, we still... Look at this whole flag-burning thing, right? Anybody that opposes that is you know, anti-America. It's the same kind of, you know, hysteria
yeah.
where you got to prove yourself. You know, every politician is running scared there. Every politician says, well, of course, I support altering the Bill of Rights to protect the flag, as if the flag is being threatened in the first place. You know, after the...
That's a really sore point with a lot of people.
Oh, it sure is.
Running.
It sure is, but it's something that should be brought out. After the verdict in Brooklyn last a week ago Friday... where the accused was found not guilty of murder and manslaughter, a lot of people were enraged by that, and they went around burning the American flag. And I said to myself,
This is perfect. This is exactly when people should burn the American flag, when they feel that justice has betrayed them and you know, everything is horrible and the country is no good. You know, that's
when
you
should... Are we going to see this turn into a national movement?
Well, I don't know about that, but wouldn't you rather have people burning flags than smashing windows and burning stores? You know, I think the ability to do that saved off a lot of violence.
Well,
I do anyway. I mean, I think that's, you know, it's part of free expression, and I think the Supreme Court, something we're forgetting about, the Supreme Court realized that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hey, let's hear from some of those other morons.
Yeah, morons, call in, 632-6901, area code 516. We ought to have a moron club, you know, Morons United, or something like that. 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Okay, how are you?
Pretty good. So when I just got in from work. What are you guys talking about?
Well, I don't know. We're talking about Bensonhurst, I guess, to a degree. We haven't really talked about that. We're talking about the changing world, Glasnost, and all that kind of thing.
That's pretty messed up about Mandela, huh?
About Mandela?
Mandela.
Oh, Mandela. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, I wasn't here last week, so I didn't get a chance to talk about it. But it's bizarre how two juries can hear the same testimony and come up with such different verdicts.
Yeah, I know.
It's I don't know. I think it's a weakness in the system, but I can't think of a system that would be better, to be honest.
Oh, so what do you think about steroids?
About steroids? Well, I don't know. They don't taste very good. Well, what do you think about steroids? I mean, that's kind of out of left field. You threw that at me. I don't know.
I think they're cool.
They're cool?
Yeah.
Well, I guess to each their own, right?
What?
To each his or her own. What do steroids do for you?
They make you big.
Okay. What's the advantage of being big?
Well, I beat people up like you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you meant you beat people up like I beat people up.
Well, no, you beat up on these little things. I beat up on these big people. But
they're not little things.
You are a little thing.
No, I don't beat up little things. I beat up... Well, not huge things.
I know
what
you beat up.
Well, that's beside the point. That's beside the point. Anyway, that discussion's going nowhere. Good evening.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, listen, I'd like to apologize to my brother. He called up before about that black thing.
How do you know it was your brother?
Because I just seen him call up before.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling up and saying you're sorry, but I don't know. Why do you think he did that?
He just acts stupid sometimes. You gotta forgive him for that, you know? I didn't know why he did that.
Uh-huh. Can I ask about how old is he?
What? He's about 16.
About 16. You think a lot of people that age, say things like that?
Some, I would believe, yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Just like you said before, to each his own.
Uh-huh.
You know, some people have a different way of thinking.
Uh-huh. Do you think he's gonna change?
Oh, I think he just did that to act stupid on the air, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think he really meant it.
That's an interesting point, though. People lots of times feel, and it goes for people in the studio, too, feel obligated to act stupid on the air, and I'm just wondering why, you know?
I think he's just a cheap throw. He's, you know, he's shown stupid now, but
uh-huh.
I don't know why he did it.
Uh-huh.
I just think I called to say, you know, I'm sorry, I like to apologize to him.
Okay, well, it's good to hear a voice of reason. How much older are you than your brother?
I'm a year older.
A year older? Back then, when you were his age, did you act that way?
Sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes, not a lot, though.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
What are we talking about here?
Oh, we're just talking about differences of opinion, I suppose, and, you know, battles between races and changes in the world.
Oh.
General stuff like that. But really, you know, anything else that's on your mind, we'll talk about.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a question. How's this phone sounding over here?
How does the phone sound?
Yeah, I bought one of these cordless things here.
Well, it sounds good to me, but you have to realize it's probably sounding good to all your neighbors, too. You know, what kind of... Is it a cellular phone or just a cordless phone?
Well, it's a cordless phone in your house.
Uh-huh.
So it's one of these VE models. I don't know, I had for about a week now.
Okay, well, you should just be aware, and I'm sure they didn't tell you this when you bought it, that anybody with a scanner in your neighborhood could tune you in and listen to your phone calls.
Well, I'm pretty sure it works on, like, what is it, 49 megahertz or something like that?
Uh-huh. So you get a scanner that covers 49 megahertz. People do this all the time. They listen in and In fact, I just saw a piece on TV the other day where somebody was told by the police. She heard somebody say something that sounded like he was making a drug deal. So she called the police to say this. And the police said, okay, record this guy's phone calls without a search warrant, without anything, because it's over public airwaves. It was completely legal.
So, oh, you know, I'm not making drug deals over the years.
Well, that. Yeah, you got nothing to hide, but still, does that mean you want to be on public display, you know?
Well, you know, I've heard of that before, about people using scanners on that. You know, I would believe it's possible, yes.
Oh, it's definitely, I've done it. I've heard it myself. It's it's scary how how you can get out there. And keep in mind, you might be on a regular phone, but the person you're calling might be on a cordless phone, so people could be listening to you all different ways.
Well, you know, what I used to do is, you know, I'm not going to... Well, I'm a ham radio operator. I just have, like, a novice license.
Uh-huh.
But anybody knows a little bit about radios knows if you have a walkie-talkie that works on crystals,
uh-huh,
you can arrange it in a way that you can transmit on one frequency and receive on another. And that's basically a way of cutting people out.
Yeah, the taxi drivers do that. They only have...
crystals.
And right.
Nobody, unless anybody knows what other frequency you're on, they can either just hear you transmit or just receive.
Uh-huh.
Either way, with only one power to have, you can't really understand what's going on.
That's true, but there are people that are good at figuring that out, you know?
Well, you know, you put two and two together after a while, I guess you can.
Uh-huh, because it's usually in the same basic range of the dial. So you just set up a scanner to look for what's active at that particular time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could very well find something.
Well, I used to do it with my walkie-T over here.
Uh-huh.
It's just a small 3-channel, 2-watt thing, but, you know, it's an effective way of cutting people out.
Uh-huh.
And, right, with CB, you know, if anybody who has a CB knows that there's always an idiot that comes on every 5 minutes and has to put their 2 cents in, so.
Is CB still going strong?
It seems like it's slowed down a bit.
Uh-huh.
When I first got it about a year and a half ago, it seems like everybody was on. Now it seems that some of the people just don't go on as much as usual.
Because there's 40 channels, right?
Not no more.
Well, they're still there, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. There's...
But they're not used.
Well, they're used. You know, it's just that the people, let me just say this, people with brains,
uh-huh,
aren't too many. There's not too many people left. I come on the radio and I try to talk to a friend of mine down the block and said I got to battle some guy pushing out a 2-kilowatt base station with a D-104 and he's stomping over people in Texas.
Uh-huh.
And how am I supposed to talk to people up the block?
Can you say, okay, let's go to Channel 29 or something?
Oh, they follow you everywhere.
Oh, they listen and they follow you.
If you have sideband or you have upper or lower channels, which are extra channels,
right,
could get away from some of the people that don't have it.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, you know, people just follow. Otherwise, you'll do to people, like some people say, go to the whistle channel or something like that, and you'll put out a specific channel of frequency,
uh-huh,
and then hop to that. But eventually, it's either, you've got to hop every 2 minutes to try and avoid the idiot that's following you, or just got to plain put up with them.
Uh-huh. Well, that's illegal to do that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, but you got to understand, CB is a citizen's band, so it's anybody can get one. So it's really easy for kids, like 10-year-old kids, which I've heard before, go out and buy one. And just a little bit of knowledge of electricity, hook up even a coat hanger for an antenna.
Mm-hmm.
Or just a walkie key and just go around and start trouble with people. But the one thing they don't realize is that you can get tracked down.
That's true.
And I've had experience with that. Friends of mine have done that, track people down.
How do they do it exactly?
Well, what you do is basically you drive around with your RF gain high, which is radio frequency gain, which is like the sensitivity of your receiving radio. So you drive around, and you get into basically the same town as this person's in. And while he's yakking away being an idiot to somebody else, as you get closer, you turn your RF gain down. And until you got your RF gain down to as low as it can go, and the guy's pinning the needle, you know, you're basically like either in front of his house or on the same block.
And you look for a CB antenna, a huge antenna or something?
That's right. I've heard people on before, you know, they come on big mouth, and then somebody will come by and say, yeah, how you doing in that greenhouse, that red car outside? And then you hear them shut up real fast, and then They're not on for about a week or two.
There's also people involved in pirate radio stations that I've come across. I'm driving in my car through Nassau County. All of a sudden, I hear somebody queuing up records on the air, you know, in some obscure part of the dial. And they identify themselves as being from a particular town where you know there's no radio station. And they give this strange phone number, which turns out to be a payphone someplace. And that there's several of them around.
You know what my favorite is? It's people with about a 200-watt RF linear amplifier.
Uh-huh.
And what they'll do is, there used to be a nickname for it, I forgot what it was. What they do is say if you're in Rocky Point, right?
Right.
And the other guy, say he's in Shirley. And, you know, you're being an idiot with this guy in Shirley. And he's like, oh, I'm going to track you down. I'm in my mobile, all right? And he'll try and find you. What he'll do is when he starts getting close to your house, you'll pop down the wattage to, like, 5 watts. And then what'll happen is you'll think, well, I'm in the wrong spot.
Uh-huh.
And it'll go back to Shirley, and then you'll push it up to 200 watts again. And that way you play games with him.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you just basically mislead him. He'll go shore him, and then you'll...
But how do you know where he is?
Unless you got two people, what you do is you get two people together. And one person sits there and yaks away with the guy and drives around to different towns. The other person doesn't say nothing and drives around and waits for this guy to cook out 5 watts. Only 5 watts. And then you do the basic procedure as before with the RF gain, follow the guy to his house. And then, you know, you basically take it from them. Sometimes a guy will come out with a bat or something. Or you'll just say, you need to a spot. And friends of mine just, you know, start fist fighting in the middle of the street with a guy who's got a wise mouth. What they don't realize is that when a guy hops out of his car, all right, guy who tracked you down, you only see one of them. What happens is friends of mine used to go out in groups of 4 or 5, and this guy would come out, you know, wise mouthing me. Then, you know, and we had one guy just hop inside his car and just took off. He was walking down his driveway. And they drove up in front of him, and he realized that it was one of the people who was being smarter. He got in his car and took off. Now, like, everybody knows where he lives on the radio.
Uh-huh.
So it's basically easy that if he gets a wise mouth again, that, you know, he'll get 4 or 5 people coming to his house again.
Well, that's quite a saga there. It's a whole world going on there in the radio world.
I mean, you know, just within the 40 channels.
Right.
It's something good, you know, to have good laughs with, play with. But if you wanted to get serious in communication and try to avoid the idiots, you can go into ham radio, but...
Right.
Channels just... When a guy called, he called himself Santa, and he was dressed up in Santa Claus gear, and he was on TV and telling people... Well, 550 Santa or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And a little kid who's 8 years old don't
right.
know better.
Of course not.
And he's going to call up and he's going to rack up $100 if his parents, you know, don't know this, that he's calling up. And to think about, what kind of person would sit there and know he's taking advantage of a little kid?
There's a lot of people are under the mistaken assumption that they have to pay when a bill like that comes. And when that happens, there's nobody on earth is going to expect you to pay that. So you just tell them, you know, this call should not have been made. It was made by a little kid or something. And it's usually at that point they offer you the option of shutting off the service, of blocking that particular number.
Because I heard that, I think it was like the first time they, you know, if your son or daughter called that up, that they would let you get off with it and then they try to block it out. But it's really annoying that, you know, I'd like to meet the guy who did that. So I could just wrap him upside his head, you know that?
Well, you know, it's all part of, it's kind of abuse of freedom of speech, you know, something we've got to allow, but something that can really be abused if people don't say enough already. And, you know, the way to say enough already is not to ban them, but just not to use them. If you stop using them, they're going to go away.
It, I don't know, it's just a quick, easy way to make money.
That's exactly what it is, and there's a lot of those things around. That's, you know, I hate to say it, but it's part of the American way is to have these quick, easy ways to make money and then disappear. But it's up to us to show them that it's not going to work. You know, an intelligent consumer, that's all you need to counter something like that.
Yeah, it's just like they're parasites feeding on society the way that they don't care who they hurt as long as they make the big buck.
Uh-huh.
Well, you won't find them only there. You'll find them just about everywhere.
I don't know. TV is just annoying.
Sure.
I used to love to watch TV. Now that they put these commercials on.
Well, you notice they only put them on late at night. That's when it's cheapest. And they put them on one after the other, and it never stops. I don't see how people could be responding to that. I really think that people are smarter than that. But, you know, I'd like to find out. I'd like to find out if people see that advertisement and then run to their phone and say, oh, it's only $2 a minute. I guess I can afford that. You know, hell, send me $2 a minute. I'll talk to you.
Yeah, you know.
Any time of the day or night. Sure, no problem.
You know, people will call up at night and they're calling up these things that got nothing else better to do with their life.
Uh-huh.
This show I'm calling up, you know, I'm calling you up, just because the show has some brains. It's got common sense.
Right.
And they ain't charging me, no, $2 a minute. You know, you're talking to...
Well, you didn't know the 632 exchange carries a special premium rate now. No, I'm only kidding.
Oh, you scared me there for a second.
I can make all these phone lights go out one by one very quickly. Yeah, and we start charging when the phone rings, too, not when it picks up. But no, only kidding, folks, only kidding.
I don't know. It's... How could something like this happen, you know, the golden streets of America?
I don't know. You know, it's sad because... When I was in Canada last, I was listening to the radio there, and do you know what they have? They have a phone number, a toll-free number for people in Montreal to call to be on their talk shows, and they say, if you're outside of Montreal, like if you're in Vancouver or something, call us collect. Now, when's the last time you ever heard a talk show, any radio station here in this country, supposedly the richest country in the world, say, call us collect? You know, if we're so at an advantage everywhere, why is everything falling apart? Why is the economy collapsing and there's no money to pave streets and there's no money to take care of people and we've got to put all these unreasonable taxes on things? You know, what's really happening? You have to wonder sometimes.
It's a disaster, you know. Other countries, some of the third world countries or other countries that aren't exactly as rich as America, they think, well, America's so beautiful and, it's...
I think we're starting to pay the price for some... leaping without looking that we've done.
Yeah. Another thing is that I was reading something in a book and said that people in America use 20 times as much as somebody else in another country would.
Oh, sure.
We're 20 times as wasteful as somebody in Africa or Asia or China.
Uh-huh.
So it was saying that, you know, if you had one less kid, that's 20 people less. So, well, 20 people less in the garbage sense of using garbage. And that's... How can you be that wasteful? I look at myself, the things I throw out, I don't think I use as much as 20 people.
Well, you know, we get used to a certain way of life and we can't just stop, you know. We've got to gradually move into a much, more realistic way of doing things. And the way we live is just not realistic at all. That's definitely a fact, and I think we're aware of that fact. But it's something we've really got to do soon, because I think we're the biggest problem on this planet, not the billions of poor people in third world countries. I think we're the ones, since we use so much more than anybody else, we pollute so much more. You know, it's all nice to say let's think about pollution, let's start cutting back, but we've got to look to ourselves to do that.
I don't know. How can America be this way? You know, America's supposed to be one of the greatest countries in the world, and yet we're screwing each other over, pardon my expression.
Yeah, well, in the last 10 years, we've seen a difference. We've seen things get worse. I just wonder what the next 10 years are going to be. On that pessimistic note, I'm going to have to move on to some more of the callers. Thanks so much for calling.
Oh, it's no problem. You know, if the phones go dead later, maybe I'll... call up again if you don't mind.
All right, we only have about 11 minutes, so...
clock's busted, I wouldn't know, so...
okay, thanks for calling.
Good talk to you.
All right.
Yeah.
632-6901. Good evening.
Eric.
Yo.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
All right, listen, I wonder if you can enlighten me on something.
Okay, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, you said something in the beginning of the show about the breakup of Canada.
Well, yeah, there's talk that Quebec wants to secede... And also talk from some of the eastern provinces, Prince Edward Island, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, that they would be interested in joining the United States.
Really?
Which is pretty bizarre when you think about it.
Yeah, because like Canada is like the Mary Poppins of Earth, you know? It's sort of like...
The Mary Poppins of... you got to explain that one to me.
They're sort of like... Well, I heard a comedy show that said this about them, that on a good day the Salvation Army could kick Canada's ass in a war. They don't seem to do like.
That's really funny. I guess that's well, I wouldn't say that to any Canadians, but you might have something.
No, I like Canadians; they're nice people, but they're
well, you know, it's something to be able to. And I would hate to see this border go away because it's great to just travel a little bit and be in another country and realize that things are different.
Yeah,
but it's good to be in a country, you know, where that's nearby that speaks English, and you realize it's not America and things just don't apply the same way. You know, I'm not saying anything bad about America, but it's you got to see differences, or you know, you take everything else for granted. Then
I do believe that one time though, I'm not quite sure when. A long time ago, we did ask Canada to join the United States at one time.
Not recently.
No, this is way back.
Uh-huh.
Not sure when, and I know I heard it from somewhere, but that would be interesting.
See, where do we draw the line? Do we say every ethnic group, every different language, yeah, form your own country and be independent? Do we say everybody, let's join together and make one big country? You know, which is better? I don't know.
This, I think, is the start of a united world, which I think is sort of oblivious, you might say.
Well, I have no objections to a united world, but I do have objections to a melting pot where all of our differences are you know,
yeah,
sort of boiled away.
If everybody could realize a united world would be great, you know, but come on, let's get realistic here. I mean, that's not going to happen. Not in my lifetime, not in your lifetime, not my grandchildren's lifetime.
Well, as long as we move in that direction, I'll be
forward.
Happy.
At least we go forward, not backwards.
Uh-huh.
And, what else was I going to ask you? I don't know. I forgot.
Okay, well, give us a call back next week, then, when you remember.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
632-6901. Good evening.
How are you?
Okay, how are you?
This last call is talking about Canada.
Yeah.
A fine country.
Sorry? I didn't hear what you said.
No, Canada is quite a fine country. Your last caller was talking about it.
Right.
But I wouldn't go so as far. I mean, the guy seemed to be... Well, what was he saying about liking Canadians?
He likes Canadians as people. They seem very easygoing, you know.
Oh, okay. I must have caught the conversation in the middle.
Uh-huh.
The thing I'd like to bring up is, did you realize that nobody has paid any attention to the death of John Lennon? This is his 10th anniversary today that he was shot.
No, he wasn't. He was shot in December.
I seriously don't agree with that.
I'm afraid he was. He was shot December 8th, 1980.
But anyways, I can't believe nobody paid attention to it. But
well,
the point
there's a good reason for that. Okay, continue.
His son Julian is quite a talent, too.
Uh-huh.
Very impressed with that new album of his. It just came out.
What's it called?
I'm not sure, but it's good.
Uh-huh. Okay, he's got a new album out then, eh?
Sure, and John Lennon was quite a man. He didn't mean to get killed. He didn't mean it. He was a good man.
Yeah, well, he didn't mean to get killed. That's we can't blame him for that, can we? Good evening.
Yes, Eric.
How you doing?
Hi. You said a few moments ago Quebec wanted to secede from Canada.
Well, maybe I'm mistaken in saying it that way. There are elements in Quebec that want to secede.
Right. I found something in contrary to that.
What's that?
Okay, I found a comic strip done by the editorial cartoonist Urblock.
Okay.
Okay, and it has a cat in the windowsill, and written on it is Quebec. Now, this cat is throwing a garbage can on top of Pepe Le Pew. Now, in the white of his tail, it says Separatist Movement.
Okay, the white of whose tail?
Pepe Le Pew's tail.
Okay, so the cat, which says Quebec, is throwing a garbage can on top of the Separatist Movement.
Yeah. Now, it says copyright 1980.
1980? Okay, well, that could be a big difference then.
I find it funny that Canada would, you know, Quebec would, you know, change its mind on this issue, you know, because I found it to be a shock.
Well, there's been a big language controversy over the past, only the past couple of years there's been a big language controversy where, you know, French has been banned in certain places, English has been banned in certain places. It's stupid. The whole thing is really stupid. I mean, teach both cultures, for God's sake. Learn from both cultures. I don't see how making another country is going to do anybody any good except just to build more walls.
Well, that's what we really need now.
Yeah, really. You know, put more walls up in the West and tear them down in the East.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess that's what's been going on. I think people are saying, well, you know, not too many people, you know, maybe a couple of years ago wouldn't like that idea. And now, since, like, everything's breaking up.
Uh-huh.
You know, Germany's going, you know, uniting, so to speak, you know, gee, you know, it's my turn. Let me do something, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's like, now there's a chance for me to be free to speak my mind and, like, let's secede now, you know. Lithuania can secede. Why can't we? You know, we've been wanting to do this for years. Let's do it now.
Wouldn't it be interesting if one of our states decided to secede, you know, just one state in this union? I mean, we've got 50 of them. We can lose one.
I'd like to see Hawaii go, you know. I really don't think
it just seems so silly having Hawaii all the way over there on the other side of the world be a part of this kind of, I don't know. I just can't picture
it. I don't see it as being... The only interest I could see it to the U.S. is a military interest, but not anymore.
Of course. That's the only reason... That's the only reason it's really there, I would imagine.
Take it, you know. Let them take it.
Well, it's... there's all kinds of ways of looking at it, I guess.
Maybe we should sell Alaska to Canada.
Or to the Soviet... Back to the Soviet Union, you know?
Yeah, even that.
Yeah, sell it to Brazil, I don't know. Well, maybe Alaska can become its own country. See, the thing is, with the United States, we're also, I don't know, we're so homogenous now, it seems that way, that there can never be, I guess it's good, there can never be a, you know, a separatist movement here.
Mm.
But in a way, it's bad, because you can go from state to state and see virtually the same things and not know where you are, whereas you can go to Canada and you know you're someplace different. You know?
No, I expect in a few years Mexico to go through some, maybe a separatist movement, so to speak, of the economy down there.
Separate from what, though? They're already separate.
I mean, maybe like the poor, you know, like trying to form their own government, their own coalitions.
Well, I mean, a full-fledged revolution, that would be interesting.
Yeah, something like that, you know. Maybe like uniting the entire Central American states, so to speak.
That could be interesting, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what could happen, though. I mean, nothing... You know, Mexico is, you know, in between, you know, the war and us. You know, and something might give there, you know. You know, like the domino theory, again, with the communism, you know, seeing how, you know, Mexico is poor.
Well, it's funny about the domino theory, you know. It's it seems to have been proven true, except in reverse. because never have I seen the domino theory work better than the fall of all the communist regimes in Eastern Europe, one after the other.
It's going.
And I don't think it has anything to do with communism or non-communism. It has to do with communication. You know, people hear about something and then they apply it themselves. It's word of mouth is really all it is.
Okay, I just called to let you know.
All right, thanks for calling.
Comic strip. I just thought it was strange since you were talking.
Yeah. Well, where did you find that?
It was in a book by Chuck Jones.
Yes.
At Warner Brothers.
Yes, I know that name.
And, and Pepe Le Pew is one of his characters. He had it in this book.
Uh-huh.
And I just, you know, struck me funny. So I said, wait a minute. This says Quebec is against this separation.
Well, at that point, it must have been the Quebec government.
I guess in 1980. Yeah.
Right.
So I noticed there's copyright 1980 on the bottom of the cartoon.
Okay, thanks very much for calling.
All right, no problem.
All right, and thanks to everybody for calling. Sorry to those of you we didn't get to. I don't know why it is. Why does everybody call after 11:30, you know, when we only have a half hour left? And before that, it's so... There must be something that happens. I don't know what it is, because I'm always in here. I don't know what's going on out there. But something happens at around 11:15, and it lets out, and everybody suddenly gets to the phone at that point. So if somebody could tip me off as far as that goes, maybe I can plan it better so that more people can get on the air. Anyway, that's it for this week's Brain Damage. We'll be back again next week, God willing. Thanks to everybody again who called up, and stay tuned for Power Surge here on Long Island's first station of the 90s, WUSB.
Hydrogen, sulfide, and lime. Favor corrosion and cover your cities with grime. Something is killing the land before your eyes. Sunshine is not to blame. Could be the insane, inhumane games we play day by day. Mushrooming home in a crowd, I am alone. Go.